Well, as we know in Genesis 3, the once fertile and abundant ground is cursed as a result of the rebellion of Adam and Eve against the Lord. So man is now going to have to labor and fight with the earth in order to produce bread. Now, prior to the fall, man knew that the Lord would provide from abundance. Now man has to learn that the Lord will provide in scarcity and suffering. The earth will harden in times of drought. Rocks, they creep up to the surface. The thorns and the weeds grow alongside the good grain and choke it off. And yet, despite all of that, the Lord will provide daily bread to the just and the unjust. And the sower in this parable seems to take that to heart. But in our way of thinking, this sower is an idiot. I mean, doesn't he know that the places where he's throwing the seed are all ill-suited for growth? It's like this man is still thinking in terms of the abundance of Eden. Just throw it out there and it'll grow. We are told then what happens to all those seeds that are foolishly cast. We're told about what happens to the seeds and the sprouts that were cast upon the poor ground. And then in reaction, we kind of smack our heads and say, well, duh, what do you think is going to happen? Birds are going to snatch some up. Rocks with no moisture are going to dry out the roots. Thorns grow up alongside healthy plants and choke the life out of them. And finally, there may be some seed that does happen to fall on some good earth and produce fruit. Now, of course, since the sower is acting so idiotically, our Lord has to explain this parable to those who have ears to hear. And who's that referring to? That's referring to you. You have ears to hear. The world views you like you view this sower: naive, foolish, trusting as a child, still wet behind the ears. Well, you are wet behind the ears. You are baptized, and so that means you have ears to hear, so listen up. Jesus explains that the seed cast all over the place is the Word. He's the Word made flesh. So the key to this parable is Jesus. Yet, of course, that's not the first jump that we make in trying to understand this parable. You ask yourself about yourself, right? Am I good enough ground? What kind of soil am I? Will I receive this seed and let it take root and be fruitful? You see what you just did there? You placed yourself at the center of the parable. It's the Word. It is Christ that is the center of this parable. It's not about you. This parable, just like all the other scriptures, are not about you. It is about Christ and what he has done for you. The seed of Eve is now made flesh through the Virgin Mary. And we have a new perfect Adam who has come, and he acts as if the abundance of Eden can and does exist. As if by his coming there would be life and it be had abundantly. This new Adam has come to undo all the wrong that the first Adam and you have done. When our Lord cursed the ground because of the first Adam, in the new Adam, the ground is restored. Because the Word made flesh that was planted in the good earth, that is, because Christ was buried in the grave with all your sins, the curse of hard earth, rocks, and thorns is reversed. The ground is now made good and fruitful. Yeah, there may be some weeds that grow up among the wheat, but that's not your concern. You rejoice that the curse is lifted and the seed, the Word, that is Christ, is perfectly fruitful. Like the first seed that's mentioned in this parable, Christ descended from heaven and was cast upon the sin-hardened earth, and he was lifted up by the adversary and his minions. The Lord taken from the hearts of his disciples and for a while lifted up upon a cross. Then he returned to his disciples, to his church, and by his resurrection, giving good hearts and holy hearts to bear fruit in patience by receiving the perfect fruits of the cross, that is his holy body and blood. So, Christ has defeated the hard earth. Christ has defeated the adversary and the adversary's flock that would scoop up the seed. And so now you ask about, well, what about the rocks then, Pastor? Well, in the parable, we're told that the plants die due to lack of moisture. You know what? Christ takes care of that too. Like the children of Israel in the desert, water comes from the rock, and that rock is Christ. Fine, what of the thorns then? Well, Christ took that curse on also. The crown of thorns encircled the perfect shoot of Jesse and chokes off his life so that we could have eternal life. Christ, the new Adam, comes and appears to act foolishly by casting himself everywhere, even upon parched, thorny, rocky, hard hearts. But he's undone the old Adam. He's undone and recreated you. The soil was repaired, prepared, and made good by the water and blood from his side. You have been made good and holy by the water and blood from his side. The Lord has prepared your salvation. So quit looking inwards to see if you're good enough soil. Instead, look and listen to the voice of the Father, who we've heard twice over the last 3 weeks say, "You are my beloved son and daughter, with whom I am well pleased. Let he who has ears come and eat." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.